Hey, what's up, Pelicans fans? Welcome to the Bird Rights. My name is Preston Ellis, and I'm the host for the new home to all things Pelicans on Nothing But Net Network here on Dash Radio. Follow us at the Bird Rights and get all the latest on your Pelicans at thebirdrights.com. What's up, Pels fans? Welcome to the Sacramento Kings preview here on the Bird Calls podcast. I'm your host, Preston Ellis, and we are talking to the managing editor of ESPN True Hoop Network's Cowbell Kingdom. Here is Leo Bias. What's up, Leo?
What's up, brother? How you doing?
Dude, I'm so good. Thank you so much for taking the time. Pretty big deal to get the managing editor on our podcast today. So thrilled to have you. And you guys know you can give him a follow at B-E-A-S Leo and follow his team at Cowbell_Kingdom. Is that right, Leo?
Correct.
Sweet. Before we get started, are you going to be live tweeting during the game?
I will. I can't wait for it, too.
So make sure if you guys want all the inside information on the Kings that you guys follow at B-E-A-S Leo and at Cowbell_Kingdom. Let's go. The Kings are 1-3. They're coached by Dave Yeager. And according to Land of Basketball, Sacramento is one of the few teams in the NBA the Pelicans actually have a positive record against, 28-23 lifetime advantage. However, the Pels lost 2 of 3 last year, the one win being, you know, DeMarcus's big revenge match in New Orleans, 117-89. However, the Kings look very different from the team we saw last year, don't they, Leo?
Very different. They have 9 new players, a bunch of young players. They drafted, they drafted 3 rookies this year, and they brought over a rookie from Europe and Bogdan Bogdanovic. So 4 total. It's a very young team, but the fans here in Sacramento are ecstatic, and they just can't wait for every game for De'Aaron Fox to continue to develop. And in the first 4 games, De'Fox has been pleasant to watch.
That's awesome, man. A lot of young guys, a lot of draft picks. You guys have built this roster from the ground up, and now you've joined them with Vince Carter, George Hill, and Zach Randolph. What has the culture been like? And were you surprised that you brought all these, I don't want to say like older veterans, but these guys are all well into their 30s.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised because Dave Yeager believes in his young players that they have to earn the keys to the kingdom. He's not just going to give them out like the Suns did with Marquise Chris Lester, right? They had a super young team, and they were just giving all these minutes out to all these young players. Dave Yeager doesn't believe in that philosophy. So all of these younger players, they have to win their spot. So for a guy like Scal, he has to outperform a veteran like Zach Randolph. And in the first 4 games, he has. So things like that, and George Hill, De'Aaron Fox, those two will probably be in the starting lineup on Thursday. I just don't see how coach continues to bring Fox off the bench. The team has gotten in early holes about 3 out of the 4 games, and De'Aaron Fox has literally saved them each and every time. And last night it was too late. I think they were trailing 32-10 at one point to the Suns. I lost by 40 points twice. So that's not a good start. They have to definitely shake up the starting lineup. And I do believe that De'Aaron Fox will be implemented into that lineup come Thursday.
And that'll fit in well with what the Pelicans have been doing, because you guys have been falling into early holes. The Pelicans have been getting out to hot early leads and then falling apart in the second, third, and fourth quarter. So our style should mesh perfectly on Thursday night. Let's talk a bit more about your games. 4 games into the season, a 1-3 record thus far. They lost their home opener to Houston, 100-105, then defeated Dallas in Dallas, 93-88. Lost in Denver, 79-96, and you were just talking about the Suns' loss, and this was, I believe, just hours probably after the Earl Watson firing and the series of Eric Bledsoe tweets. Talk a bit about the performance and about where it stacks up against what your expectations were in these first 4 games.
Well, the first game was very fun to watch. It was the home opener. They gave it their all. De'Aaron Fox showed up, and the Houston Rockets were like, who is this kid? He's so fast, and he really changed the complexion of the game. And he really, you know, set the tone for the team off the bench. And that game, the Rockets, got a very controversial call, which then the NBA the next day came out and said that they made a huge mistake in awarding the Rockets two free throws. It was off of Eric, their shooting, Eric Gordon. George Hill deflected it off his wrist, and it should have been King's ball. They were down by three and ended up losing by 5 points, I believe. But that was a huge swing in that game. I think there was about 20 seconds left. And so, yeah, so that controversial call didn't help, and the team was upset after the game. But then they rebounded nicely in Dallas, just like all of us thought they were. And Dennis was going to play that game. We have a thing right now in Sacramento that we feel like every rookie point guard, they're avoiding De'Aaron Fox. And it's happened that way. Lonzo Ball has, you know, been hurt in quotations three times now in summer league and preseason. Dennis Smith didn't play, but he played the next game. It just feels like a lot of these guys are trying to avoid the Fox, as King Sands likes to say here in Sac. I don't think that's true, but De'Aaron Fox is a hell of a player, and he puts a lot of pressure on opposing defenses every time they face him and every time they're going to face him, and he's only going to get better. Right now, they're giving him that open mid-range jump shot, and he has to continue to take that. And luckily for the Kings, he's had the confidence in taking that shot. So as he continues to develop, if that shot begins to fall at a consistent rate, I think he's going to be unstoppable, man.
Nice. It's nice to see that you guys are so high on your rookie already 5 games in. Talk a bit more about De'Aaron Fox. You've got a roster full of these guys like Scal Labissiere and Garrett Temple and Buddy Hield, all these young guards. Are you already like seeing his potential? You know what? Go ahead and compare him to an NBA player that you see and you're like, oh, I hope he grows into this guy pretty soon.
Cool. I think the most obvious is John Wall. You know, I think the most impressive part of De'Aaron Fox, believe it or not, is just his on-ball defense. Garrett Temple today at practice was talking about how he's already the best defender on the team, and Garrett Temple is a lockdown defender. He said that De'Aaron Fox is by far the best on-ball defender, and off the ball, he's only going to get better with experience. I mean, he's just so fast, and he just applies pressure 94 feet. And the guys that are guarded by this guy, they're just like, man, this guy just doesn't stop running, and he comes in with so much energy. It's just really fun to watch, man, and I just can't wait to continue to watch him develop. He is a class act, a true professional, a leader, a vocal leader out there, and it just feels like he's not a rookie. I mean, he's 19 years old. He's really impressing a lot of people. Last night, Bogdan, he's a 25-year-old rookie, right? He's been playing professionally for about 4 years in Europe at a high level. Last night, again, in the first half, he did not you cannot tell me that this guy was a rookie because he's been playing professionally. He scored 12 points in the first half. He's coming off an ankle injury. In the second half, he did run out of gas, but I anticipate Bogdan to be in the starting lineup soon, man. I feel like the more games he gets under his belt and the more confidence Dave develops in him, I think he's your starting three.
Nice, dude. Happy for you guys. Let's move on to the rest of your roster. According to NBA.com/stats, we talked about Scal a little bit earlier. He leads the Kings in plus minus right now, and 7 of your players are in double figures per game thus far, including Willie Cauley-Stein, Vince Carter, George Hill, Garrett Temple, Fox, as we mentioned, Buddy Hield, and Bogdanovich, although I think Bogdanovich only played one game thus far. It looks like the Kings are sharing the basketball pretty well with each of these guys, averaging somewhere between like 10 and 14 points per game. Is that what you're seeing too, Leo?
Correct. The Kings don't have a go-to DeMarcus Cousins anymore. They have to find that guy, and that guy, I believe, might be Buddy Hield, but Buddy is he's such a streak shooter that when he's off, he's off, and when he's on, right? I'm sure you guys saw flashes of that last year in his first 30-something games as a rookie for the Pelicans. But, you know, they do have Zebo. Zebo has been awful the past two games. He's a 36-year-old veteran, and the in the past two games, Scal has outplayed him. I truly believe that Scal and De'Aaron Fox are the two cornerstones and the future of this team. I believe both will be all-stars. For Scal, it's a matter of just putting on weight. Right now, he's so skilled. He has the outside jump shot. He has the inside jump shot. He'll give you the left hook, the right hook. He'll give you the Dirk Nowitzki turnaround jump shot. Just you cannot block his shot because his arc is so high, and he jumps so high that if you do attempt to block the shot, it's a foul every time. And he's playing with so much confidence. The only thing is, on the defensive end, he gets pushed around because he's so skinny. But the weight will come on with experience and with age, right? And as far as Willie Cauley-Stein, the Kings drafted him to be a defensive anchor, and he hasn't been that. He was super inconsistent his first two seasons, one because the market was there, so the playing time wasn't as consistent. And then this year, we expected him to be a lot better defensively, but he's been awful defensively. But he's been very, very good on the offensive end, so that's quite a surprise right there. His first game, he had 21 points, 10 rebounds, but he's been really bad in pick and roll defense. I know he's below average right now, ranking a 29%. Percentile on Synergy Sports, and he ranks 90th on offense as far as his overall offense. He's been very good from the mid range, and so it's just a complete surprise for all of us, really, on behalf of Willie Cauley-Stein.
Nice, good info there about Zach Randolph not playing well, Scal being a smaller guy, and Willie Cauley-Stein. You know, we all thought of him as a lockdown defender, like a DeAndre Jordan type. So that's really interesting to hear. And Scal Labissiere, just to go off topic for a second, he's a guy I've always been interested in because I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but he and Cheick Diallo are actually close friends. When they were preparing for the draft, I want to say they met at some kind of like high school senior year, like Nike Hoop Summit, something like that. And they got each other's numbers. And leading up to the draft, they were texting each other every day, like talking about what they were working at the gym. And when Pelicans see Cheick Diallo, you can see a lot of the same movements and skills and games that Scal uses, albeit they are very different players with very different styles, but a lot of the same footwork, a lot of the same tendencies. So it's really cool to see those two buddies develop, and we're watching Cheick develop right now. But let's move on to the Kings again. 28th in points per game, 29th in pace, 11th in opponents' points per game. It seems like, even though you mentioned Willie Cauley-Stein being more proficient offensively this year, it seems like you guys are playing a slower, grinded-out basketball. This is all according to Basketball Reference. Are George Hill, Vince Carter, and Zach Randolph helping to turn the Kings into a Western Coast version of the Memphis Grizzlies?
Yeah, for it sure seemed like it in these first four games. But Coach Hager, before the season started, he talked about playing very fast because he has lots of young players, and De'Aaron Fox at the point, who was extremely quick. I know that when De'Aaron Fox goes into the game, the pace picks up, and when Zebo's in the game, it slows down, and that's when they get into a hole, when they play slow. That only worked against Dallas down the stretch when the game got tight. You fed Sebo in the post, and he was very proficient. He got all the calls, and he missed a couple free throws, but he was hitting his inside hooks like he's been his entire career. So I feel like that only works down the stretch, and the team has to speed up the pace and play to their strengths. Their strengths is playing fast. And as you said, they've been playing slow, which is why they're 1-3.
I want to bring up Justin Jackson quickly because we haven't really heard you touch on him a lot yet. How much has he been playing, and how has he looked thus far?
He's been playing about 15, 20 minutes a night as a starter. He's looking solid. He's not going to wow you. He's never going to wow you. But he's more of that prototypical Spurs player, that good system player, has a high basketball IQ. He does things well, and that's all you can ask for at 6'8". I think he's about 190 pounds or 210 pounds right now. He definitely needs to put on some weight to compete against these other really good small forwards. He hasn't really faced anyone that good yet, but he will. You know, the LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Kevin Durant of the world. And once that happens, he's going to look a lot worse. But right now, he's been steady. He hasn't killed you as far as making mistakes. He's hit a couple of his open three-point shots, which is all you can ask for. And solid defense. Solid. He's a very good communicator on defense. He moves well without the ball. So those things are the things that stand out the most about him. But the reason why he's starting, I feel like, is because Garrett Temple should be the starter at that position. But some teams are so deep that when they bring in their second unit, for the exact same reason, coach likes to depend on Garrett. And Garrett plays about 30 minutes a night anyway. So Garrett plays most of the minutes, but it just happens that Justin starts the ball. Coach likes the line above De'Aaron Fox and Temple, and they really bring and intensify their defense in that second unit. So he likes Fox and Temple together, and I think he's going to keep it that way, either on the bench or as starters.
I'm glad that you brought up minutes, because I'm just looking at the box score of the Suns game, and it turns out that all five of your starters, Willie Cauley-Stein, George Hill, Justin Jackson, Buddy Hield, and Zach Randolph, actually played fewer minutes than the guys coming off the bench, De'Aaron Fox, Gallup, Bogdanović, Garrett Temple, and Kostas Koufos. Talk a bit about your lineups and your rotations and why the bench is getting such heavy minutes over your starters.
They've been playing better. Again, the Kings get into early holes, and that's just not a good thing. In this league, you have to start fast. I believe the first quarter and the third are the most important, and that's where games are either won or lost. And the Kings are 1-3 for a reason. They've been in holes in three of those games. Actually, they've been in holes in all four of those games. And Dallas is so depleted that they ended up winning that game in Dallas. But the Kings can't continue to get in these holes. Yesterday, for example, they were in such a big deficit against Phoenix. I think they were down like by 27 points in that first quarter. And after that, they won the second, third, and fourth quarter. But, you know, it wasn't enough to quantify for that big deficit in that first quarter. So, again, expect De'Aaron Fox to be in that starting lineup. Maybe Garrett Temple, shake it up a little bit. I would definitely start Scal over Zebo. I think Zebo would be better suited coming off the bench. Last year, he averaged 14-10 coming off the bench, so I don't see how that should be much of a change for him, since he is used to playing in that type of role.
Before we move on, I just want to touch on Kostas Koufos. He's probably your most dangerous offensive rebounder, just in limited time. I think 21 minutes the other night, 7 of 9, 6 of those coming on the offensive end. How active is he? And I guess just how good is he now at this age? He obviously played a long time in Orlando and now Washington and Sacramento. Is he still a heavy contributor with you guys? And what should we expect from him on Thursday?
Kostas Koufos will be guarding DeMarcus Cousins a lot, most definitely. I know Willie and Scout are a bit skinny still. They won't be able to contain him. The thing is, the Pelicans have two twin towers, right? So both Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins will have a huge advantage. I think they're going to chew up the front court of the Kings, but the Kings have the advantage with their fast wings and guards. So it's a matter of who gets off to a better start, and ultimately who makes less turnovers. I truly believe that's what it's going to come down to come Thursday on national television.
Talk a little bit more about that. You've got all these young, like, kind of speed guys. We were talking about De'Aaron Fox and Scal being very skilled. The Pelicans are a bit slower. They play a faster pace, but with DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, Dante Cunningham at the three, Etuan Moore is a try-hard type guy, but, you know, picking him around screens and on pick and roll, he can get caught behind. Drew Holiday's a great on-ball defender, but same thing, you know, chasing around screens. Is that what we're going to see a lot of from the Sacramento Kings? Or what kind of offense are you guys going to employ on Thursday?
Well, Dave Yeager plays as a high post offense where he slows up the offense when they're in the half court. And the reason being is, again, he hasn't started De'Aaron Fox. And when De'Aaron Fox comes into the game, they're in transition because he just goes, right? So right now with Hill starting and Zebo starting, you have to slow up that pace and play through the mistakes that Willie will commit on offense. I feel like really need to concentrate again and being that DeAndre Jordan type player, getting those offensive rebounds, being a good defensive rebounder, playing very good defense. And he just hasn't done that. I just feel like because the team is so young, they're going through an identity crisis where you don't know what your role is yet because this team is just not that good yet, for one. And they're so young that a lot of these young guys think they're the guy, right? So that's something that Dave will have to deal with, I think, for most of the season, unless they start winning games, and I don't think that's going to happen. But Thursday night, the return of DeMarcus Cousins, I'm sure all the guys will be hyped up to play. And just like the home opener, when you play these type of teams, you tend to wake up for them. So I anticipate a very competitive game that will ultimately come down to the last 2 minutes of the game, and whoever makes less mistakes will win the game.
As far as like athleticism and size go, Willie Cauley-Stein seems like the guy that would be paired against Anthony Davis. Is that what you think they're going to do, or would you expect okay, great. And as whoever has been on Dante Cunningham thus far, so far in the Pelican season, Dante Cunningham is kind of the guy who just sits in the corner and waits for the spot up three. And while he had a good average last year, for the most part, you know, he's a guy that defenders will sag off of. In this case, I would assume that would either be Buddy Hield or Justin Jackson. Who is your help defender? Who's going to come over and help out in double teams whenever DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis get into the paint?
It just depends on who's on the floor. So Buddy Hield, believe it or not, he struggled with his shot early on in the season, but his defense has been magnificent. Yesterday on Devin Booker and whoever he was guarding, he was playing lockdown defense. His jump shot wasn't falling in, but his defense led to like three layups yesterday, and that really got him going. So that's one of his big critiques, that he's very soft on defense. And this year, he got a little bit faster, and his dribble penetration has gotten better. His vision has gotten better, and his defense has improved. So we'll see if he's the one that actually, you know, like you said, helps off and sags off a little bit, which I think he will be. But I do anticipate Bogdan to be playing a lot more, and he has a 7-foot wingspan. So yesterday he came out with like three steals, I believe, not two, and they both led to runaway layups. I just feel like you just have to sag off all these guys, and just every time DeMarcus and Anthony Davis touches the ball, you have to double team these guys and just live with the result of other guys beating you, man. I just don't see how the Kings will beat them if they don't sag off all these other guys.
Now, the Kings fans can expect that Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins are going to put up somewhere between 40 and 70 points on Thursday. Yeah. But you don't necessarily know where the help is going to come from. And as far as Pelicans fans with the Kings, like, you know, we know a lot of these guys are going to be around like 8 to 15 points, but we don't know who's really going to hurt us. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us a bit about who you think like the MVP would be of this game, or the guy that we just don't expect to kill us?
Guy you don't expect to kill us. That's a tough one. Maybe like a Vince Carter. I just feel like your wings are not that good. Like your guard play is not that good right now. Maybe it'll get better, but maybe a guy like Vince Carter off the bench can be a spark and give you about three threes in that game, and those 9 points might be the difference down the stretch, right? That might be a dark horse. But I feel like De'Aaron Fox and I just feel like De'Aaron Fox is going to eat on Thursday, and there's nobody on that team that can stay in front of him. So he's going to give you guys a lot of problems all game long.
I was going to say, Drew Holiday has a lot of difficulty with, you know, Mike Conley and with John speed. Wall, these quicker, speedy point guards. But also, a lot of Pelicans guys are afraid of Garrett Temple, and rightly so. These wing guys who have the deft shooting touch, it's going to be difficult for us to get out, especially on transition. The Pelicans have not been good in transition this year. Let's see. Pretty much the only question I've gotten on Twitter so far, and this is something I wanted to close with anyway. It's been about 8 months. You guys, you know, you got a pick from us. And I think it ended up in Justin Jackson for the DeMarcus Cousins trade. You've got Buddy Hield. This is the first time DeMarcus Cousins has come into Sacramento. Last year when I talked to Rafi Wong of A Royal Pain, he basically said that the fans love him. He's great in the community. You know, obviously he had the technical fouls and the locker room stuff and the shouting matches with other players and coaches. But it's been 8 months now. Where do the fans stand at this point in time with DeMarcus Cousins coming back into Sacramento?
DeMarcus will have his big DeMarcus fans, make no mistake about it. But for the most part, fans have moved on. And when I see things like, oh, DeMarcus Cousins got a technical foul, was that on opening night for you
guys? It was, and it was interesting because obviously he was at fault and he apologized, but there was a woman in the front row provoking him, and our editor actually like took the time to watch the video again and again until he could write out exactly what she said. And it was a lot of just cruel, unnecessary expletives. She was obviously trying to elicit a reaction out of him. And I remember last season, early on in his career with the Pelicans, there was this guy who recorded himself yelling like, hey, fat boy, fat boy, fat boy, mm-hmm. until he got a reaction out of DeMarcus Cousins. And while, you know, you do want to point the finger at DeMarcus and say, like, hey, man, you got to be better than this. At the same time, where is security, man? Where is somebody to come over and tell these fans to sit the heck down? So obviously, like, it's something that he has to keep in check. But, man, if we could get some help from those guys in suits with the earpieces, we'd really appreciate it. But continue with what you were saying, Leo.
Yeah, well, with DeMarcus, I just feel like covering him, you know, five out of the 7 years, his biggest issue is, again, arguing with the refs. A lot of fans don't see how much he does it until you're actually at the game. And it's literally after every timeout, he's going to be, you know, in the ref's face and just giving it to him in terms of him not being happy. And I just feel like that just from that negative all those negative vibes, they really do rub off on your teammates. And when you don't get back on defense and you're playing 4-on-5 because you're arguing the call, then that just hurts your rep and your credibility. So I know he had his run-in with the media. I saw so many things. I lived it firsthand, right? He was in my face against the Rockets on the court. So we had our issues, you know, him being mad about us running the story about how technical fouls hurt the team. I mean, that's just logical, right? Technical fouls hurt the team and they hurt you and they get you out the game and those type of things. So I just feel like that is who he is. It's a personality trait that he's just never going to change. You're going to get 28 and 10 every night, but you're also going to get those moments of frustration from him. And that's just who he is, just like Draymond Green. They wear their emotions on their sleeve. And, you know, if you can combat that and just accept it for what it is, then, yeah, you'll be fine. And as long as he's not your number one option, I think you'll be fine as well. He's definitely number two or three on a very good team. I don't think he's that number one option that's going to lead a team to the playoffs. And it was proven 7 years, right? We never got past 33 victories. So we'll see how it goes, man. I said this, he's our problem now, not the Kings. And as a member of the media, it's relieving not having them there, because every time they lost, it was just negative vibes all the way around. And now, you know, you have such a young team and so many guys with such positive attitudes that, you know, that rubs off well, and that makes your job that much easier.
Well, man, I'm sorry to hear that you guys had that experience with him. And last year after the All-Star break, I was killing him too, because we saw a lot of that, you know, like trotting up the court and then the poor fouls, yep. The frustration fouls, the turnovers. But I got to be honest, man, while he does get frustrated in these early games, I have seen a night and day difference just as far as attitude. I don't know if he's just suppressing it early on in the season and he's going to let himself go if we go on a losing streak. But thus far, just having like Anthony Davis and Rajon Rondo in his corner, he hasn't gotten into foul trouble. We haven't seen as many of the mood swings, the temper tantrums, anything like that. He's been held much more in check. He's come out every game playing extremely hard, dishing out the ball, doesn't seem like a selfish player. And, you know, he still takes those barrels into the lane.
He's not a selfish player. He's not.
Yeah. No, but he still does some of those frustrating things, like, you know, trying to dribble between his legs, taking it from the top of the key, trying to one-on-one his defender all the way to the glass. Sometimes it works, more often than not it doesn't. But man, just as far as attitude goes, thus far in the season, it feels so far like he's starting to turn the corner, but obviously that'll come with wins, and if we lose, I'm sure. Anyway, thus far in the season.
It feels like that every year, you know, until the losses start to pile up, and then oh, there he is again.
Well, hopefully we'll get a couple of wins.
And that's why Draymond Green doesn't have that bad of a rep, because their team is winning, but they're the exact same player. They're both super disrespectful. And I always ask myself, what if I was a referee and I had this big old dude in my face constantly cursing me out and just making me feel like utter garbage? Like, that's just not cool, man. And that's such a bad look. It's such a bad look for all of our young generation looking at that guy and looking up to him as a role model. One thing of him, he's very generous. He does great things in the community, but that doesn't justify what he does on the court. And that's always been the big issue here in Sacramento.
Man, I'm sorry to hear that. And I hope he turns around for us. Maybe it's just a matter of getting a couple W's on the board.
Hopefully, man. Hopefully.
Leo, before I let you go, give us a prediction for Thursday night.
My brain says that the Pelicans will win 107 to 105. My heart says that the Kings will win 95-92.
Hey, man, all you have is your heart. What else should you follow? I do the same thing. Before opening night, we were playing the Grizzlies, and our editor, Ali Kosal, was being very honest, very truthful, with I guess very calm and steady. And I was like, F that, man. We're super fans. We can pick whatever score we want. I can say the Pelicans are going to go 82-0 if I want to. There's nothing right on it. But thank you so much for your time, Leo Bias of ESPN True Hoops Network, Cowbell Kingdom. He is the managing editor for this site. Again, he will be live tweeting, so follow him at BEAS Leo and also at Cowbell_Kingdom. As I just said, he will be live tweeting. Leo, thank you so much for your time. Plug your website and give us some information on some stuff that will help Pelicans fans learn a lot about the Kings that they can check out before this game on Thursday.
Absolutely. All Pelicans fans can subscribe to our YouTube channel. On our YouTube channel, we actually cover the entire NBA. We provide analysis, highlights almost every game, NBA vloggers, which not many people are doing. So we pretty much give you a behind-the-scenes look on what it's like to be a member of the media. We've done a couple of those already this season, and as we travel to other cities and stuff, we'll be showing that exclusive content that not many people are doing right now. And as far as the website, it's all Kings content, but YouTube, our podcast, it's usually a Kings, you know, 60% and NBA 40%. So it's pretty split, and as we grow, it's going to continue to be NBA. But yeah, you guys can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Cowbell Kingdom TV, and follow us on all social media platforms at Cowbell_Kingdom.
You're the man, Leo, and I'll reach out to you again the next time we match up. I haven't checked offhand when that will be, but I'm assuming it'll be sometime in the December, January area. Absolutely. And we will talk to you again then, man.
Thank you so much for your time, my man.
Thanks for listening to The Bird Rights on Nothing But Net Network here on Dash Radio. Now, if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes by searching The Bird Rights NBA Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at The Bird Rights for all the latest and best coverage on your pals. And if you really like the show and you want to show us even more love, give us a rating and review on iTunes. Your help has gotten us to more than 35,000 downloads at this point, a feature on Blog Talk Radio on the main page, and a spot here on Dash Radio's new Basketball Concentrated Network. And as always, if you have any questions, direct them to @PrestonEllis, and we'll answer them by the next show. Let's go, pals!